Bailey & Harding Ultrasound System is sponsored by Protein Rebel. And this month, the month of October, the spooky month, they are giving us some Run Easy Marine Collagen to give to you, my friends. I've been taking their collagen for quite a while now. It's got some scientific stuff behind it. It is hydrolyzed marine collagen powder, which helps to reduce aches and pains after runs and minimises the risk of injury, strengthens joints, tendons and ligaments, also improves skin, hair and nails. Mixes really easily into coffee, which is what I do, 2 spoons in my coffee, but can be mixed into any drink or porridge or anything like that, and can also be added to foods like yoghurt. I take 10 grams daily, which is 2 teaspoons in the morning and 2 teaspoons in the evening, and you start to feel the benefit after 2 weeks. I have got nice hair and I've got nice nails, but also it really does help my running, and it's not wanky and it's not really expensive. So the October giveaway is 2 large tins of Run Easy Marine Collagen, 200 servings. That retails at £112, which is incredible. If you would like to win this, just go to the link in our bio or Instagram, which is Ultrasound System Pod, click enter. Enter away, and we will announce the winner at the end of October. Just to remind you, this podcast is for grown-ups, not children. It has got some swear words in it and some very immature adult themes. But if you're on the school run, I'd advise you to fucking well switch it off now. On with the pod! Welcome to the Bailey and Reed Ultrasound System with me, Chief Superintendent Bailey, and Police Community Support Officer, open brackets, special commendation, close brackets, Kirsty Reid.
Oh, wow, thanks. That's probably the biggest compliment you've ever given me.
Well, I awarded you a special commendation.
Okay.
Because you're an inspiration to a nation, Kirsty, to be quite frank.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, good. Yeah, let's just leave that there.
I think we all know why. So, last time I spoke to Kirsty was 4 weeks ago. That's how time works. And, oh, by the way, this is episode 81. We talked about Tour de Géant, didn't we? It was your little Tour de Géant. I was trying to think of a good pun for that, but then I couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah, it was good. I had lots of really nice messages from people, actually, which was unexpected and also really, really nice.
That's where the special accommodations come from. Because it was probably our most messaged about episode, I reckon. But I got messages too from people saying how inspiring it was and how brilliant it was and how much they loved it. So if you haven't listened to that episode yet, then go and listen to it because it was really good. What were people saying to you? Why were people liking it?
Well, I mean, you know, I won't be able to blow smoke at my own trumpet or whatever, but there were 3 or 4 people who said that they were older people like myself. Not old, but just like, you know,
We're not talking Garden Centre Cafe old.
No, I don't. No. I do like a Garden Centre Cafe.
Me too.
You know, like late 40s, early 50s, etc. That, you know, it'd given them a bit of a push to maybe, you know, get back into some training that they, you know, they've been sort of not feeling, or kind of maybe get them looking at kind of bigger races again and stuff like that. So that's probably the biggest thing for me, is that if it's helping kind of people who are, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s or whatever, think, actually, you know, I'm not going to listen to what the media says about, you know, let's all slow down and aren't our knees bad. I'm going to still, you know, go for that big challenge and train for it properly. And, you know, maybe I can do a little bit more than I'm capable of doing. So that was really nice. Yeah. And just a lot of people said, normal. I am quite normal, and yeah, that it's good to hear about these kind of super long races, like from the kind of the people further back. You know, because obviously it's a very different experience for, you know, Sabrina Virgie or whatever than it is for me.
I actually think it's a totally different race. To be honest,
yeah. So yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, sometimes you listen. You know, I listen to some of the elites, and I think, oh, you know, wow, they're like, there's something different about them. They're a bit superhuman or whatever. And they are, to a certain degree, they're an outlier, aren't they? But actually, I'm not sure how much you learn from them sometimes, because you know, I can't sleep for 5 minutes because I'm going to be out there for 5, 6 days.
Exactly.
You
know, whereas
if you're out there 2 or 3 days, you know, things like, so races like, I guess, Spine, Northern Traverse, you know, Tour de Géant, those those kind of really long ones. And I guess to a certain extent, things like Dragon's Back, because, you know, some people are going to be out there for 6 hours, some people are going to be out there for 16 hours. So
Yeah, some
it's a
people get
very,
1 hour's sleep, some people get 10 hours sleep.
yeah, so it's a very different sort of thing. So I guess there's something in that for I you know, I feel personally it's interesting hearing about, you know, what how you train differently, how you kind of manage yourself differently. You know, even your nutrition will be different. Your sleep strategy is the very, very interesting one that's come out of all of this for me, that I've learned a lot about in the last few weeks. So yeah, anyway, so yeah, I'm glad it was helpful.
It was very helpful, and yeah, I had the same people just being like it was really inspiring, and it's inspired them to look at doing something more than maybe they were already doing, which is just really, really nice. And that's what we're here to do. The other thing that's been reported back to me is Helen, 7 years. Helen, don't know if you listened to the episode with Holly last week, but we had a lady called Helen. Sorry, everybody, I'm not very well, so I'm going to do a little bit of a cough. Helen was planning to do Cape Wrath in 7 years. To celebrate her 50th birthday, we were like, no, Helen, not 7 years. But a lot of people have messaged me, maybe four or five people saying, oh my God, I'm Helen, and I've been planning to do this thing in 7 years or 5 years or 3 years. Do you know what? I'm just going to enter it next year. I'm going to train for it, and it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to do my best to do it now. And I think that's really important for people to think about, because, you know, Cape Wrath might not be there in 7 years, but then you might not be there in 7 years either. So, good work, everybody. Highly inspiring stuff. How's your 4 weeks since the pod been? Have you been back running?
Yeah, I took a week off completely, and then the following week I did sort of 3 30-minute kind of jogettes with a bit of jogging, a bit of walking. And then after that, I tried to kind of get back into a sort of semblance of running. So sort of 4 weeks on, I'm doing sessions again and kind of getting back to normal. Not doing, haven't really done any long runs, but yeah, kind of getting there. Yeah.
Good. You're getting a long run with me on Friday, if I can manage to overcome this horrendous man flu I seem to have caught. Cool. I'm glad that you're back, and there's no wiffles or waffles or injuries or anything like that.
No, I mean it's not.
Post-traumatic stress disorder?
Yeah, tiny bit of that. Yeah. The more you kind of remember things that have happened. Yeah, and I've spoken to a few people actually, who were kind of, they'd done it over the last few years, and they said, "Oh, it was terrible. It was absolutely terrible." And I was like, "But I loved it." And they were like, "But didn't you hate it because it was awful?" And we'll come to this in a minute, I guess. And I was like, "Bits of it were awful. Bits of it were really, really awful." But no, I loved it. But yeah, it's interesting. I was talking to I'll drop a name here.
Oh, Julius, get the name drop noise. He hasn't got
Oh,
one, but I think
sorry.
I'm sure he can have one.
Yeah, it's usually you, not me. I was talking to Megan Hicks for my run far at the weekend, because I was at the World Championships, the world, sorry, the final of the World Cup.
Working, not running. Should we just make that very
Yeah,
clear?
work. Yeah, very much not running. And she said that she found Tour de Gion was just too much into the kind of horrendous end of things. So she wants to challenge. I mean, you know, this is Megan Hicks. She loves to challenge. She's done some huge things. Like she's like an amazing runner. But for her, it was like too much about the kind of the pain and the horror. You know, once she got into those kind of final days, she just found it really traumatic. So she did not enjoy it, because it was like she wants all the beautiful stuff, but she also kind of wants the hard stuff, but it was just too far weighted kind of towards the horrible stuff. So that's also something to consider when you think about these big races.
That's interesting. Did she go into like why?
She's written an article about it, actually.
Okay, that would be a
Yeah,
good thing to read.
if you look at iRunFar, there's one on there. It's quite a few years ago she did it.
I'm doing a course at the moment, and it's very centered around your thoughts. And I just think I'd love to read that article, because it's the same. It's not the same race. She obviously had a different race to you because it's her race and whatever. But it's the same course. Everything's the same, right? To a point, and I'm like, I just feel like, what was it in your brain that made you have that experience, that contributed towards that experience? What was different in the way you were thinking about it? Because if you think something's going to be shit, it usually is shit, because you create it as shit, right? But I think that's really interesting. But you haven't had any blowback on it. You haven't woke up in the middle of the night and been like, oh, I thought that you were still running, or that you were trapped in a shed with a man, an angry Italian man.
No, I didn't have the shed experience. It was a man and a woman that was in the shed when I was there. No, well, not really. I mean, I have kind of remembered more bits because I think when we spoke, it was literally like 2 days after, and I
Yeah.
hadn't really sort of processed a lot of it. And the more you think about it, the more like the thing that really bothers me is the bit where I didn't know who I was or what I was doing, and
Yeah.
that's played on my mind a lot, and I've kind of gone down a bit of a deep rabbit hole to try and find out why that happened and why I don't, how I can stop that happening again and stuff. But no, like I mean, obviously it was really hard, and there were bits of it that were really terrible. But on the whole, it was an incredible experience, and I absolutely loved it. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, whoo! Would you actually do it again if someone said, I'll give you a place next
Yeah.
year?
Oh
Would
yeah,
you?
100%. Yeah, I can't. I won't, probably wouldn't be able to afford to do it again. But yeah, absolutely. I'd do it again straight away.
Bloody hell. Ruddy hell. Okay, that's lovely. I'm glad that you're back on the scene, the jogging scene. That's a good thing for me because I'll get be bored on my long runs without my lovely friends. That is for sure. If I ever get to do a long run again, because if this man flu ever goes away, I do actually feel quite
Yeah,
shit.
that could be it for you now.
Well, yeah, I think so. I'm actually having a wobble today of like, should I do my session? Should I not do my session? It's like, you're not doing it. I know that, like, I'm not doing it, but you know that panic that sets in if I'm going to lose all my fitness. I'm a fucking coach. Like, no, you're not. Like, you can only make this worse if you go out and do that. I'm like, I'll go to the gym. It'll be all right. I'll go to the gym. No, you won't, because you'll be that person that gives it to everyone in the fucking gym. I
Yeah.
love my brain. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Right, we're doing an investigation this week. It's a very important investigation. I think it's an investigation into the abuse of running. There's people out there who are abusing running, and they're abusing it by being horrible to it. Kirsty, do you want to explain what the investigation's about?
Sure, thanks, Ali.
Sure.
So I just noticed. So firstly, I was reading an article in Runner's World, and it was by, we'll go into this in a minute, but it's someone who just done a big challenge, and they said, "Yeah, the thing is, I really don't like running, so that's why I did the challenge. So it was a running challenge." And I was like, "What?" And then I thought, "Well, this guy's just a dick, so I'm just not going to pay this any attention." And then I just kept noticing all these articles popping up in my newsfeed that are like, "Hate running. This is how you can learn to enjoy it. Do you hate running? Hate running in the winter? Hate running." And honestly, like, I then Googled it, and like, I sent you a document, didn't I? There's probably like, I don't know, like 10, 15 articles on here. How to run when you hate running. How
So
to keep running
funny.
when you hate running. And it was making me so angry. So I thought, well, let's launch an investigation into, like, are we wrong? Does everybody else hate running? It's only you and I that enjoy it, because you enjoy it, right?
Hey, ma'am, maybe it was because, well, I'm not going to be mean, but I feel like I'm bang average at running and you are about slightly above me in the bang average at running. So maybe the fact that we're not really good at running is because we don't hate running. So maybe we're
Maybe
doing it wrong.
that's it. Maybe
Because I
that's
don't
it.
fucking hate running
But
at all.
I'm genuinely perplexed by this whole situation, and that the media is kind of perpetuating it, because like when you were a kid, and like you go like, oh yeah, I really like Take That. Yeah, I like Take That or whatever.
Yeah,
And then
I hate Take That, so I'm going to listen to Take That.
no, but then someone else goes, oh, Take That shit. And then you go around the rest of the day, don't you, going, am I totally wrong? I like really thought that I liked it, but am I like totally wrong? It's like it rocks the foundations of your world when you're like, 12 years old.
Yeah.
But it, like, why is this going on with running? I thought running was brilliant.
It is. And I think you made a point at the end of that document where you're like, this isn't happening with cycling or
Yeah.
fishing or
I feel like
yachting,
we're being
or
discriminated
I
against.
absolutely feel like not. I feel like running is being discriminated against, right?
That's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like it's such a bizarre thing to be like, okay, here's a thing that I really dislike. Hate is a strong word. That's a good song, actually. I'm going to put that on. Hate is a strong word. That's a very good song. Now, I really dislike football. I think it's a waste of fucking time. But you know what I don't do? Try and
Watch
make
football.
myself like football.
All
I've got no
right.
interest in trying to make myself like football or go to the football or be a football person or learn about the football. I don't give a fuck. I actually don't like it. But that doesn't
Yeah.
make for a very good article, does it? But what? So
No.
why is this? Like, have we done? Are we doing a deep dive into? Oh, and the new Nike advert, right?
Oh
The new
yeah,
Nike
so that's the
advert.
worst one.
It's all over TikTok. And the campaign. What's the campaign called? If you don't hate running, you don't love it enough.
It's called, if you don't hate running a little, you don't love running enough.
So actually telling you that if you don't hate it a bit, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And
Brilliant.
the thing you made me, I like the way you dropped in, yeah, it's all over TikTok. Yeah, like you're a young person.
Yeah, man, it's all over the top ticks.
It's all over TikTok. I really love TikTok. It's a great social media platform.
Yeah.
It's all over a Slasher and Smasher and that other
So
one.
I watched it. So my brain is probably like mush now, been on TikTok. But yeah, and it's just people running in the rain. And you kind of look at it and you think, well, yeah, it's like you do have to run in the rain sometimes.
Oh, look, it's the weather.
Yeah. It's just like,
Yeah.
hello, have you been to Britain?
Exactly. It basically looks like Summer in Wales, that advert. It's like,
Yeah.
right. And so
Yeah.
what? Like, people ride their bikes in the rain. And lots of people play five-a-side football in the rain. People play rugby in the rain. They go fishing in the rain. They do lots of sport in the rain because we live in England.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So yeah, like so there's a lot of things that bother me about this a lot.
Okay. Could you present what's evidence piece number one that is offensive? Go on. Okay, guys, this might be triggering for you this episode, so you might want to turn it off because we are going to talk about influencers.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we are, yeah. No, the thing that bothers me about it most, point number one. Okay, so what like you go to school. Like people hate cross country in school, don't they? Whatever, you hate running, and it's like that kind of classic narrative. It's like, oh, do you know, I really hated sport when I was at school. I was told I was very bad at it. I hated the shorts and stuff like that. Everything about it made me feel bad. But now I'm an adult. I found running again, and actually, I find I really enjoy it, and it's really inspiring. And blah 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 blah. Does this not just put us back to kind of where we were? Like kind of running as a punishment, like running is bad, it should make you feel bad, you should really hate it, but you have to make yourself do it for some unknown reason. So like how is this moving us forward? It's just putting up another barrier to people start. If I didn't run and I saw all these things saying, oh, running's terrible, isn't it? God, don't you hate it? Oh my God, this is how you can make yourself do it. I wouldn't take up that sport, would you?
No.
It's like if I read a thing about lacrosse now, it's like, yeah. Oh God, it's so like violent. People are gonna like hit you in the face with a ball. Like, oh, it's terrible, but you have to make yourself do it. I'm like, I'm gonna be like, nah.
No, I'm all right, thanks. Okay. The spare bits of time, the bits of time, the ticking time of my life. I'm all right, thank you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do it.
So that's point number one, isn't it? That it
Yeah.
is this actively putting people off being active, which we've got an enormous problem with, haven't we? Just
Yeah.
perpetuates that thing of I hated running at school, running's awful, it's really, you get really sweaty. Like my niece, when she was like a teenager, she wouldn't run because it made her face red. And that's not a, well, I can't imagine that's an uncommon, like the discomfort, the sweating,
Yeah, but
the.
also when you're a teenage girl, makes your boobs hurt. You know, like all of that. It was the thing is about running. This is really interesting, actually. I have a lot of new athletes that sign up to, and they're just like, I just want to enjoy it. The first thing is they just want to enjoy it, right? And they also don't want it to hurt. And I'm like, yeah. See, the thing about that is, it does hurt. Like, if you're going to do a 50-mile race, it's going to hurt. That's what's going to happen. But if you ride your bike for 250 miles, that's going to hurt. And if you play football for 90 minutes hard, that's going to hurt. It's part of the exercise thing of the fact you're going to move your body, you're going to push your body a little bit or a lot, however much you want to push it, it is going to hurt. Doing the training doesn't mean it's going to hurt less, but what it does mean is you're going to be more capable of repairing it quicker and maintaining that running while it hurts, right? Sorry,
Yeah.
guys, but that's just a fact. That doesn't mean you should hate it. I mean, that part of that for me is problem solving and being like and enjoying the fact that I've trained my body to be able to cope with that. That makes me proud and happy and gives me confidence and makes me think, oh man, I could like run across the country. And that's exciting. Not, oh, this is awful. Why am I doing it to my body? Like, why would you think that? Like, why would you think it?
Yeah, and also it doesn't hurt all the time.
No,
It's
it
like
doesn't.
I kept a diary, right? Because I thought, am I like fooling myself? Do I like, am I actually being told that I hate running? Is that correct? So I kept a diary about how much I actually enjoyed it, and I came back and wrote for the last 2 weeks how much I actually enjoyed that run when I was doing it. And you know what? I still really enjoyed it. So like, if I do a session, I don't enjoy the 3 minute bit where I'm making doing an effort, but then you, so like, yeah, sure, that's discomfort, isn't it? And that's not pleasant. And no, well, probably Holly kind of does that and goes, oh, I love it. But like, I don't enjoy that bit. But then the minute you finish that bit, you think, oh, that was cool. I've done well there.
And
And
also,
I feel jog and it's nice.
you don't hate it.
No,
You don't hate it.
just
Like,
uncomfortable.
yeah. It's about that side of it. I mean, with sessions, I'm doing all this because of this fucking course. I'm doing this stuff on Thought, and I'm thinking a lot about how I think about my sessions. I'm not scared of them. I don't I don't dread them. I think we use this language around it, which we think we should be using. And maybe we're using that language around it to make it seem harder than it is, so people think we're harder than we are. Because let's face it, right? We all love a medal. We all love coming in and being like, oh, yeah, I've done this race. Because people will be like, wow, that's amazing. Whether we say it or not, we'd like a bit of external validation. We like people telling us that we're great. So maybe when we talk about our sessions, we talk about them, how sort of not scared of them we are, but how we approach them with like a little tiny bit of fear. Like we don't look forward to them because they're going to hurt. But actually, I've totally changed the way I think about sessions now, and they're my favorite thing of the week because I'm like, this is where the growth is for me. This is where the proof is in the pudding that I'm getting better, or maybe I'm not getting better, but I am putting lots of effort in, more effort than I put in before. It doesn't really matter what the outcome of the session is, it doesn't matter what the numbers say. What matters is that I am actually feeling that burning sensation of going very quickly because I'm an endurance runner, so I don't do that very often. I'm really enjoying that because that it's so much better to feel stuff than it is to not feel stuff. And as someone that has spent years not feeling anything, I really enjoy that. So actually, I don't hate it. I don't not look forward to it. I'm supposed to be on a session today and I can't do it because I'm not well. And I'm really pissed off about it. But I'm, again, trying to control my thoughts around it so that I can maybe do it later in the week. Or if not, doesn't matter. I'll just do it next week. But yeah, that I don't, at any point, I don't think I've ever, the only time I can ever remember thinking I hate this, and there probably has been more times, is on that Beacons 100-mile race I did in July when it rained. And I was like, I fucking hate this because it's wet and cold, my pants are wet, and it's been hammering it down for 12 hours. So what did I do? I stopped. I didn't keep going. I just stopped.
Yeah, maybe if you do, I mean, I don't want to sort of talk runners out of it, but if you do run and you really hate running, maybe just don't do it. Maybe
Honestly, I have
I wouldn't
said
do
this
something I
to people.
hated.
I have fucking said this to people that have rung me up for like phone consultations on coaching. If you really, and I've said to them, well, you're probably running too fast. It's the number one reason why people hate running because they're running too fast. Two, if you're coming up with all these reasons why you hate it, you probably shouldn't be doing it. And so don't do it. Go and do something else. There's very many sports you can do. Hundreds of sports. Just go and fucking do something else.
But what if running's the thing that they get most attention from on the
That's an interesting. Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, this is what started this whole thing, was this guy called Josh Patterson.
Yeah, lovely Josh Patterson.
He's off one of those reality shows, I think he
Reality
said.
star cum ultra runner.
Yes, exactly. Like the other one. He says, I don't like running. For me, that was the trigger. I thought, what can you do to test yourself? And starting with something you dislike will be the first hurdle. And I read that. I thought, I don't understand.
Let's replace that word with other things like racist. I don't like racists. So for me, that was the trigger. So I decided to become one. What?
It's like, well, I thought, what, think about something I don't like. I don't like nuts, right? So I don't, but I don't eat nuts. So I don't
You
go
should
around
learn to
being
love
like,
nuts. You should learn
oh
to be really
God.
good at. Can you learn to be really good at eating nuts?
Exactly. It's like replace it with dog as well. Like, I don't like dogs. Like, how can I learn to love having a dog? Don't have a dog. You'll treat it terribly. You won't look after it.
You'd have no respect for it. You'd spend your whole time resenting it.
It's probably the best analogy, isn't it? It's just like, yeah, don't come into running and ruin it for all of us just because you don't like it.
Yeah, you're basically running around just angry and resentful about the fact that you're running around.
Yeah. He also said, you'll really enjoy this. And when he said he was going to do this big challenge, I don't even know what he
What
did. I
is the
imagine,
big challenge?
I don't know.
Running. The big challenge is just
I
going for a run because he hates
should have
running
looked
so
that up.
much.
I think it was like number of ultras, so many ultras in so many days or something. He probably took like a private jet or a helicopter between all of them or something,
Probably shared
allegedly.
one with Spencer Matthews and they both talked about how much they hated running on the jet.
Whilst they counted their money from their brand
Sponsorship from their
sponsorship.
charity donations.
Oh no, let's okay.
Allegedly,
Anna's going to be on the phone to the lawyer again.
allegedly.
Okay, so when he said to people he was doing this big challenge, people said, listen, it takes years to prepare to achieve something like that. But I said, no, who wrote that book? Who gets to dictate when someone can and can't do
Me.
something?
Me, I wrote it.
And also physiology. It's just like physiology.
Hi, I'm physiology and I'm science. We wrote that book.
But yeah, I just thought that sounds so nuts. It's so like against everything that I think about running. It's just like, yeah, if you don't like it, like go and do cycling or swimming, or like you don't have to do running. But no, he's probably seen his mate Spencer get all that attention for running on some sand, and then he just thought, oh, he's got like 4 billion followers, I'll do that.
It's one of those people that's like, I'm raising loads of money for charity. It's like, that's second to you raising loads of profile for your profile though, isn't it?
Okay, we're probably going to get sued now, aren't we?
I don't think so. This is what he's actually doing. So he did 76 marathons in 76 cities in 76 days. Well done. Attempting to raise £1 million for the Samaritans. Very good work. Very nice. But if you don't like doing it,
Well, that's it. You can't knock him for that, because that is brilliant, isn't
it
it?
is
That is
great.
really good.
He's done a great job.
But it's just, yeah, I personally wouldn't choose something that I hated to do it, because like you are going to have to train for, I mean, presumably not years after what you said, but maybe months or weeks. And like, so this is point two for me, is like consistency is everything in running, isn't it? Whether that's running twice a week, three times a week, or it's doing like seven, eight runs a week or whatever, you won't get better unless you're consistent. So isn't this just like, isn't it really hard to be consistent at something you don't enjoy?
Yes, it is really hard to be consistent at something you don't enjoy. In fact, it's borderline impossible to be consistent at something you don't enjoy. And if you look at somebody like Josh Patterson, who is already an athlete, he was already he was already an athlete to start off with, and also has the sponsorship, the time, the physio support, the cash, the general support to get be able to get and do these big challenges. He's got all the time in the world. So even though he's like, who says that you have to train for years? He probably did quite an intense, hardcore 6 months of training with some great trainers, some doctors, some physios. He's not working in a job 9 to 5 looking after two kids and do all that stuff. He's like, this is the only thing he's doing, right? So if like Pete from accounts is like, I fucking hate running, but I love Joshua Patterson and I'm going to go and do this. The likelihood of him, hitting the goal that he wants to hit, whether that's raising money for charity or doing, I don't know, a marathon, is much less than the person that goes into it. Like, I really enjoy this sport. And because I enjoy this sport so much, I'm going to go maybe do a marathon or maybe do an ultra marathon or maybe I've done a half marathon, I'm going to do 20 miles. It's much more likely that the person that is thinking along those lines is going to A, enjoy it and B, get a better outcome than Pete from accounts who's just fucking trying to copy somebody on the internet. There's a hard man mentality around this. I hate it, but I'm going to do it anyway. There's like the brutal savagery of like, it's toughness, isn't it? It's the wrong end of toughness. It's that thing of like that we get wrong where it's like we think that toughness is doing something we really don't like and coming out the other side, but it's not. It's not
Yeah.
that at all.
Yeah.
It's like toughness is based in vulnerability and the ability to listen and learn and to keep doing things over and over again to and do them well. Like not hating something and doing it anyway. I think there's that. Is there any examples of women saying that they don't, that they hate running, but they do it anyway?
Well, a lot of the articles actually were in women's magazines, so Glamour, oh, there was one in Cosmopolitan,
Think I saw one in Stylist.
Stylist. Yeah, that sounds right. So it's like how to keep running when you hate running. How to I hate running. I tricked my brain into doing it anyway. How to start running when you hate running. Whoa, whoa, whoa! How can you wait if you've never run? How do you know you hate it? Like they're already telling you that is.
Exactly.
That was from Vitality Fitness. Oh, okay. Maybe I was thinking that was Vitality. The health brand, but maybe it's a different thing. But yeah, and a quote from that article. Here's the thing: I don't like running. I never have. In high school, I audibly groaned when our PE teacher announced we had to run the mile. But for me, running is uncomfortable, sweaty, and painful. It's hard to breathe. So what is there to like?
I don't understand why people are writing about it like this.
I know, I know. But I think, like, coming back to your point, I think that kind of suffering thing is like, that's the kind of third point here. It's like that people think there has to be an element of suffering. You know, they hear Courtney DeWalter and people like that talking about the pain cave and the suffering, and it's brutal and it's the most brutal thing you ever did. But I just think that language puts people off.
But it's not suffering.
I
It's
don't think it's
just
suffering.
problem solving. And we do that all the time. Our brains love to solve problems. It's what our brains love it. When I think of an ultra, if I think about a 200 or a hard in my back was hard 100, I think about problem solving. I think, oh, there's gonna be lots of problems on this. It's gonna be quite exciting to solve them. Not, oh my God, the brutal savagery of the thing. Like, of course you think about the weather. Of course you think about maybe it'll be uncomfortable and that things might hurt and things might start to fall off. I'll make Instagram stories where I'm saying to the camera, I hate this. Because that's where my brain is going. But I obviously don't hate it, or I wouldn't be doing it. Back to football, I really don't like football. So you won't ever see me at trying to like football with my scarf on. Like, you just won't. I'll watch Ted Lasso, but I won't like football. So, and I think the word hate is used too much. I think we're bandying it about like it's not actually quite a strong word. And it's, but it has ultra running built itself around this idea that it is suffering, do you think? And that, is that it? Is ultra running, is one of the pillars of ultra running suffering?
Yeah, I think it might be. I think it might be. I think people sort of, yeah. I don't know. I don't feel that way. So it's quite hard to
When
appreciate.
you
But
choose a race, do you choose it based on how much you're going to suffer?
no, I choose it based on, like distance, elevation. I like hilly races. I like to go somewhere really beautiful. You're not going to find me like running a backyard ultra, and I'm sorry, like backyard ultras are great, and I did loads of 24-hour stuff when I was younger. But like right now, all I want to do is go and see nice places, running beautiful places. Don't ever think that about the suffering. I mean, it's good if you've done. I guess this is the thing, isn't it? If you've done lots of ultras, then you're going to go through. This is it for me, I think. You go through those patches where you hate it. Like I'm coming down a boulder field or something, it's taking you hours to run a mile, and you just think, this is awful, this is bullshit, I hate this bit. But you hate that bit. And then you come over the brow of a hill or something, and you think, oh, what an incredible view, this is amazing. And then you get to a really runnable bit, and you just think, wow, I'm 150 miles in, and I'm still running, and I'm doing really well. And it's like instances of horribleness, instances of incredibleness, lots of ups and downs, isn't it? It's like 100 races within one race.
Yeah, but that's like life. It's like saying, I hate life, but I'm going to try to do it anyway. It's like, that's just, you get you up. Ultra, running ultra is like living a day. I always think about it, even if it's like a 3 day, or it's like a day in the life, isn't it? Or like a week in the life, because you have these days where everything's fucking awesome, and you have days where things are fucking shit. That's a human condition, and that's fine. You're allowed that. You don't have to be happy all the time. Like, you don't have to feel like you're in flow state all the time. And I've gone from looking at a boulder field is such a good example. Like, you turn a corner, there's a fucking boulder field, and there's just boulders as far as you can see. And you're like, no, this is going to take ages. I'm already cold and wet. That's going to be awful. Or, cool, this is a problem to solve. What is the easiest way for me to get across this boulder field? First thing I'm going to do is eat something because I know it's going to zap some energy. And the next thing I'm going to do is crack on across the boulder field. Being like, I fucking hate this. This is awful, isn't helpful. And then that narrative within the media isn't helpful. It just
No.
puts people off, or it makes people think if they're not hating it, they're doing it wrong, which is just mentalism, isn't it?
The whole thing is weird, isn't it? Because, like you say, sometimes races are just really shit, and it's the right decision for you to stop.
Yeah, to
So,
stop, like, stop. So don't go on about it. Stop and go. I've gone on about that race actually. Stop and go, oh, I'm not doing this anymore. But I've gone on about it because it's the first time I've DNF'd and not been bothered about it. Like, I call it CBA because I couldn't be arsed with it. Just couldn't be arsed with it. It wasn't anything wrong with me. I just couldn't be arsed with it. I wasn't having a very good time. I hated it, so I stopped. I didn't keep cracking on regardless. Like, it is just
But unless
such a
you've,
bizarre thing.
yeah, unless you've been through those experiences where it is, this is really tough, this is awful, then now you kind of think, oh no, I've turned it around, I now feel all right again. That was just a rough patch. Unless you've been through all of those ups and downs, then how do you know when it's right to make that decision to stop? That would be my thing.
Exactly. Do you think that Josh Patterson, just using him as the example here, is saying this stuff to make people sponsor him? Because he thinks if he's saying it's really, really hard and he hates it, more people give him money.
That's a good point, quite possibly. And there's definitely an element of that, isn't there? On Instagram, there's definitely that element of I'm going to big this up and make it sound like really, really awful. I mean, I'm sure if you took like one race, like I don't know, a good example. Oh, so Autumn 100, maybe that's just gone at the weekend, hasn't it? Brilliant Centurion race. And I'm sure if you looked at like all the Instagram posts, like scientifically, there'd be loads of people. Like, I'm sure Hannah Rickman's like, that was brilliant. It was amazing. I loved it.
Well,
Like, you
Hannah,
know.
actually, for Hannah, that was a very hard race because it's flat. And
Yeah,
Hannah's a
yeah.
mountain goat. So for her, she was actually like, this is actually a big test for me because I'm a mountain goat. So it's really hard. But luckily, James is such a good race director. He went out there a couple of days before with a hose and he made us some bogs.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, Drew stamped in the mud to make them deep. He hosed it
Yeah.
a little bit to make it boggy. But yeah, you know, she was like, this is a toughie for me because it is not what I'm used to at all.
Yeah.
Whereas other
But
people seem to be like, oh, this is the easiest. I say to people, it's a great beginner's 100 because of the out and backs to the Goring Village Hall, and it's relatively
yeah.
flat.
Yeah.
But for some people, that's a horrendous mental horror show of coming back to your bag, back to your where your car's parked every 2 minutes is a nightmare. Other people take that for granted, think that it's going to be easy, that they can just walk it. They can't. It's a 28 hour cut-off. That is a punchy cut-off for 100. Lots of hundreds have 30 to 35 hour cut-off.
Yeah. No, what I was going to say that was her post is probably like full of joy and all that sort of stuff. But then you could look at probably 10 others that just said, oh God, it was a muddy bog fest. It was so brutal. It was so hard. Do you know what I mean? It's all about perception, and it's all like, do people post on Instagram thinking I'm going to make this sound as bad as I possibly can? Whereas other people might kind of think, I'm just going to do a true reflection of kind of how I felt. So you just don't know, do you?
No, and some of the people, no names mentioned, at the front of the pack on races like, I don't know, the Spine, just write, oh, what a lovely day out I had in the Spine, and it was really, really great. And then you get loads of people saying to you, I think I'm going to want to do the Spine. And it's like, it's because they've read those reports that don't go into the minutiae of actually, there were parts of it that were really, really hard. There were parts of it where I didn't think I could do it. There were parts of it where it did really hurt. But I think that's the thing. It goes through the, you go through the hurt and then you come out the other side. What I'm really interested in, I've talked about this a little bit before. I'm so hot. I feel like I might throw up, listener. So I might actually leave, come back in a minute. I'm not very well. I'm dying.
No, you're not well. You should mention that.
I feel like absolute dog shit. Courtney DeWalter's Pain Cave.
Yeah.
So has anyone actually gone into in-depth discussion about what is in Courtney DeWalter's Pain Cave?
So I put that bit from that article in it. She says, the pain cave is where I go when it physically feels like I can't take another step. It's a visual I have of the space in my brain that I go to with a chisel. And I just go to work on making it bigger, which helps to stay mentally tough in these difficult moments and makes my capacity for suffering bigger.
My capacity for suffering bigger.
Yeah.
Do you think it makes her capacity for suffering bigger, or do you think it changes her mental outlook on how she feels and allows her to crack on?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think we can all relate to that, can't we? I mean, even like at a beginner level, or maybe this is the best way of looking at it. You like I used to have a running group when I worked in Oxford, and they were all like beginner runners. And the first week I said, right, we're going to jog for 30 seconds, walk for 30 seconds. And then they'd just go, oh my God, it's not 30 seconds yet. And then the next week you'd get to like a minute or whatever. So like they are, at the end of that 30 seconds, they think I can't take another step. But then the next week they're running a minute, and the next week they're running 2 minutes, and like catch to 5K kind of style. So you are making your capacity bigger, but mostly that probably is mental, isn't it? By thinking I literally cannot run another step after 30 seconds, but then the next week you can run double that amount, sort of thing. So I guess that is an example of it. And I think there is that there's that central governor theory, isn't there, which I think is kind of like old school kind of sort of running coaching stuff now, where your brain is basically always going to try and stop you. Your brain is going to rule like your lungs and your heart, and it's going to say, this is bad for us, stop, you're going to kill yourself, stop. But every time you ignore it, you then kind of push that out a little bit more. So I
Yeah,
do I
your primitive brain is there to avoid pain, increase pleasure, and conserve energy. It's there to stop you hurting yourself. And that is with ultra running, that's a 101 to know that's there, to be like, thank you so much for trying to protect me. I'm all right. To be able to talk to it like that is like that's the key to being able to push yourself into the next zone of like endurance, right? But I think people use Courtney's Pain Cave in the wrong way. I think it's like Jaws. Courtney's Pain Cave is like Jaws. When Jaws came out, everyone was like, great white sharks are going to kill you and eat you. No, they're not. No one has ever been eaten by a great white shark, ever. They're not interested in eating you. You don't have enough calorific value. But they take the lowest common denominator that they can understand or the most newsworthy bit and blow it up. And with Courtney's pain cave, that's her pain cave. It's hers. It's not yours. And you don't know what's in it. And you don't know how she feels about it. And what's in her pain cave could be less than what's in mine. In fact, I don't have one. I don't have a cave I go in. That's not what happens. I think to myself, this isn't going quite the way I want it to. I need to work out. I need to problem solve. It's more like Bailey's big problems to solve. There isn't a cave. It's like, if something's not working the way that I would like it to work, I will stop, usually eat something, and then start again in a different way, right? I think this pain cave thing, it's like everybody has to get to the point where they feel like they're going to break in a race. It's got to be brutal savagery, or else they're not doing it right. If you train properly, it's unlikely that's going to happen. If you really put in the hours and if you are consistent, kind to your body, build your strength, like pay your dues, start like and work your way up that ladder of like, 25K into like a marathon distance, into like maybe a 50K, into like a 50 miler, into maybe, oh, we're going to go to 100K, then we and work your way up. Choose the right races, do it, like study it because it is something to be studied, ultra running. Look at your body, look at what works, what doesn't work. You don't have to do 100 miler. If you don't fucking like them, stick to 50s. No one's telling you that you have to keep going further. You don't have to get to this pain cave. You don't have to hate it. It doesn't have to be brutal or savage. You don't have to shit yourself. You don't have to throw up. You certainly don't have to get blisters. In fact, definitely don't get blisters. That's a ridiculous thing to do. You don't have to come over the line of a fucking race. Like, looking into your camera phone and being like, oh, that was the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm so proud of myself. When you've not done the fucking training. Like, of course, it will be hard if you've not done the training. It's like, you don't have to hate it. Why do people? It's actually quite upsetting when a sport that, me and you love so much is given this sort of, it's going to be awful tack. Because
I
it's
think
not going to be completely awful. Bits of it will be bad, but then bits of your day, the week are going to be bad. Bits of your holiday are going to be bad. Bits of your birthday party are going to be bad. But you don't focus on that, do you?
I think maybe that's the answer. Like, maybe what we should do is like put all these articles through like ChatGPT or something and say, rewrite this. Rewording all of the things that say pain and suffering to mild discomfort and some feelings of out of breathness, maybe some
Fun
sore
problems to
legs.
solve.
But yeah, maybe we keep words like suffering. So I met somebody at Tour de Gion who lives in who came from America, and when they went back, I realised I live in Asheville, where
Oh, shit.
the place that's basically just been almost washed away in, is it North Carolina? And I dropped her a message and said, how are you doing? And she said, we've got no power. She's got no job
Oh,
because
my God.
her work has closed. She's doing a washing in the creek, like having, bathing and doing a washing in the creek. That's suffering, isn't it? People who've lost their houses, people who've, in, terrible situations all around the world, in war, that's suffering. Let's not use suffering as something that we enjoy for a nice pastime.
No, let's not, and let's not put people off. Like, but there's a real thing in ultra running of, or especially influencer ultra running, of I'm better than you or I'm more harder than you are, especially in the male zone of ultra running. Is Joshua Patterson going to be the running show? Because the hardest geezer
Probably.
is, and what I'd like
He'd
to
probably
see.
upset the running show now.
Well, the hardest ski I have it upset and they love me. The hardest geezer, Spencer Matthews and Joshua Patterson. I'd like to see them together having a chat, encouraging each other, like how, the female ultra runners do.
It'd probably be like one of those like really, really super like passive aggressive chats, wouldn't it? It'd be like, do you get any blisters? Because I got like a billion blisters.
Yeah, just a couple, actually, my whole body blistered.
A bit like Monty Python. How many minutes a day did you sleep? I slept 12. Oh, really? Oh, God, that's a lie. I only slept like
Luxury.
four.
Yeah. Oh,
It's gonna be
three
like
for
that,
me.
isn't
Three for me. Actually, I had minus hours sleep. I was so awake that I minused my sleep. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I was talking to
Slept,
his.
what, you slept on it? You slept in a camp bed. I slept on a bed of scorpions.
I slept on a bed of scorpions just to acclimatise to sleeping on a bed of scorpions. I got a bed of scorpions built at my local physio place.
Wow.
Did you ever watch The Detectorists when it was on TV?
Oh, loved it. Yeah, gentle television, love it.
Me and Damien were thinking maybe we could see if somebody will make a Detectorist series about ultra runners. You know, like how when they go to the pub and there's the other Detectorists in the pub and
Yeah.
they go up against each other. Because I just think some of this ultra running stuff is so ridiculous. Some of the stuff that comes out of people's mouths is just so ridiculous. But it is a bit like that, isn't it? I find it's like that on social media, but it's not like that in real life. It's like, who is the hardest geezer on social media? Or like, who is the fucking raw dogging trend? Like, what
Oh
is
yeah.
raw dogging trend?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't what I thought it was.
Imagine if some of the guys that are fighting in like Gaza and stuff decided to raw dog the army. Or
Yeah.
like if, I don't know, someone in fencing, just people that did fencing decided to raw dog fencing and just not wear the thing or the mask on their face.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's
Yeah,
just
and also,
attention. It's just fucking getting attention, isn't it?
yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? But I think it's like anything, I think, isn't it? It's like if you speak to, okay, so here's a good example, right? So I spent a lot of my weekend talking to a woman called Hilary Walker,
Yeah.
who is kind of one of the absolute pioneers of, I wouldn't even say women's ultra running, I'd say ultra running. So like back in the 1980s, she was running sub 15-hour 100 milers.
Yeah.
And, you know, her and there was this other woman, Eleanor Robinson, who people might have heard of, who, you know, they were about at the same time. They were doing the 24-hour races, the 100 milers, the 50 milers, they were setting all of the records, 48-hour records, and they were like absolutely kind of pushing each other. And it was just like this golden time. Like if you haven't heard of them, like look them up, honestly, they're absolute legends of the sport. And these people are so humble, you know, they just have no interest in the media or anything like that. You know, I said to her, what, you know, what would it have been like if we'd had Instagram when you were back in the 80s? And she was just like, I just wouldn't have engaged with it. I hate it. I hate the attention. I hate being interviewed. I hate all of this stuff. And I was just thinking, how completely different is that from like the way that, you know, the situation we have today where everybody wants attention for doing a bit of a long run or whatever. But I love meeting those people like that. And, you know, I got to talk to Hillary about like hallucinations and stuff like that. To put into context how good Hillary was and how far ahead of her time she was, she set the 48-hour record in the 1980s that got broken by Joe Szach about 2 years ago.
Whoa.
I mean, yeah, incredible, just
Yeah.
incredible. So yeah, those are the people I respect, those super humble, you know, people.
Yeah. What was I gonna say? Mel Sykes put up a picture the other day on her Instagram of her dad running, what was it? I think it was like the Peak District Marathon or something in 1982 or something like that. And the photo was amazing, or like 1970s. In fact, I'm getting it wrong, so I am gonna look it up. But it was so cool because it was a black and white photo, and it was just like this, all these like mainly men, actually. I think it was all men. I think it was probably at the time when here we go, found it. 1985, it's a photo from a race in Huddersfield taken in July 1985. Go on Mel's Instagram, it's Melly Welly Woo. Obviously, there's lots of people saying there's no women in this race, but it's just like I'm going to show it to you, Kirsty. It's just they're all running down a hill to go out on the fell, and they're
Yeah.
all just wearing vests, shorts, and headbands and long socks, and there's no watches and there's no nothing, and it's just like the pure. And there's also
They raw
no
dogging.
talk. They're raw dogging it. There's no talk. There's not going to be any talk about how savage or brutal it was afterwards because there's nowhere to talk about it except the pub where they probably all went 5 pints
Yeah.
afterwards, which is absolutely fine. It was just it's just like it's kind of sad actually how like the sport that we love and the sport that we use for, you know, well, that we're lucky enough to be able to use for our all of our wellness needs is becoming just brutalized. Is that the right word?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think, listeners, about this fucking, if you Do
Yeah,
you
do you
hate
like
running?
running?
Do you hate it? I just think it's the wrong way to say it.
Yeah.
Like, it's totally the wrong way to say it, but it's more than semiotics. It's more like the thing is, do you think maybe, okay, maybe it's an industry thing where they're like, oh, people aren't doing it because they don't like it. This is a way to get them to buy all the fucking kit. You know, we're going to say, well, if you have the right leggings, and if you have the right sports bra, and if you have the right jumper, I like a waterproof jacket. So I've got 86 waterproof jackets because I'm like, well, if I have the right waterproof jacket, then that means that I'll be able to win this 200 miler. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that you'll be a little bit drier for a little bit longer. And also, you've got waterproof jackets. But maybe it's that. Maybe it's just another clickbait sales attempt.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you see loads of them at this time of year, don't you? It's like how to run in the winter. It's just like.
You get up, you put your kit on, you go outside, and hey presto, guys, you're running in the winter. Hey, Cassie, what's your one quick hack for running in the rain?
Oh, hack for running in the rain. I'd probably say open the front door, step outside, and then sort of move your legs fast.
Yeah, a bit faster than walking.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be my hack. But yeah, all at this time of year, they're all trying to sell us head torches and like those things that you wear on your front that light up and all that sort of stuff. And actually, you just need to put some more clothes on.
Yeah, you'd put some more clothes on and maybe go out with, if you don't want to go out on your own, then you can go out with some of your mates or go and join a running club. That's always a good
Yeah.
idea. There's a couple, actually, you know what? I'm just gonna big up a running club in Wales called the Mountain Goats. So the Mountain Goats are a little tiny club run by a guy called Russell, and they come out of Clwtar coffee shop, which is quite near the Carnarvon Fans. Where is it? Penny Kay. So it's South Wales.
Did we go there?
Yes, it's where we went for coffee. We've been there for coffee. So that's where they meet, and they meet every Tuesday. If you go on Instagram, it's Mountain Goats Runners, I think. They are so nice. I went out with them when I was at my sister's house. They are Mountain Goat Runners. Every Tuesday, Coal Breen, South Wales. They meet at Clwtar coffee shop. It's shut, unfortunately, because it's Tuesday night. They start going on Saturday mornings too. Oh my God. Like, I went along with my sister and we went out for a 6 mile run, and it was just really, really nice, and they're really, really sweet. And if they're obviously South Wales, they're based there. But I bet there's loads of those all over the country. So for winter running, it's actually tended to tips now. Go and find them and go out with them. Because you don't realise, I think when you're with someone else, you don't realise how rainy it is or windy it is. Honestly, like, I went out at the weekend to the Peak, the 20 mile jog on the Edel skyline, and it was all fun and games until we could see the weather coming in and it started to hail. I was wearing shorts. Fuck me. If you want brutal, go out in hail in shorts. It's like little tiny razors slashing your legs. Did I hate it? No. Like, I loved it. It was great. It was owie and it was ridiculous and it hurt, but it was like, oh, this is funny. And you know that hail's not going to last. And I was with someone else. So the hail, the rain, the wind didn't affect me at all. Whereas when, if I'd been on my own, I think there would have been thoughts of, I'm not too keen on this. This is actually quite horrible. And maybe I don't like it as much as I should be liking it. But it's a really important part of your training. So you should go out and do it. But yeah, I think part of this whole, we can make you like running is, definitely to do with
Selling stuff.
selling stuff, and
Yeah.
including coaching, because I get loads of people that tell me that they're like, oh, I just want to enjoy it again. Guys, here's a little hack for you. All of the feelings that you have in your body and all of the thoughts that you have, they're available to you at any time. Because if you think about a holiday that you've really liked, so I often say this to my clients, it's like, think about somewhere you've been really relaxed, like so relaxed that you're almost dead. They're like, oh, I went on holiday to the Dominican Republic and there was this hammock and I laid in that and I was so relaxed. And as they're talking about it, you can see their face lift up and they're like, oh, it was so warm and all I could hear was the sea. And it's like, right, you're back now where you were. You can feel that feeling. That's literally always available to you. It's available to you on the hill. Like, it's up to you how you fucking feel. Like, not your external environment or the exercise that you do. It's fucking up to you. And that doesn't cost anything, does it? So they're not going to tell you that.
No. And you also touched there on point 67 on hating running and that kind of brutal thing of safety. It's like you shouldn't be really cold. It shouldn't be brutal in that respect. It shouldn't be Like, you shouldn't be thinking, am I going to get hypothermia? So don't let the media tell you that you know, being brutal and being cold and being miserable and, you know, being unhappy is normal, because it's not.
No, it's
Like,
not.
if you've got
Do you
enough kit with you, you'll be fine.
know, we had we did a really interesting interview with Hannah Rickman. It's in the Legends episode, and we talked about her Northern Traverse. And I did say to her, because it was such a terrible year for weather, it was so shit. I did say to her, like, how did you get through that? Because I can't imagine wading through those fields in knee-deep water and you're only at like 82 miles. How the fuck did you keep going? And she actually said on that podcast, well, you either laugh or quit. And she just said it like you just laugh or quit. It's so fucking true, isn't it?
Yeah.
You don't sit there going, I'm the most brutalist, like, this is savage. That comes afterwards. I think that those descriptions come afterwards. It's maybe to impress people or to make it sound more harder than it was. But it's like you just laugh or quit, and that's really stuck with me, especially when I've been like, I've got wet pants or my legs are really cold, or you know, because it's like it's highly unlikely you're going to die in that situation. It's what were you talking? What was that article you told me about the other week where you were like that guy wrote about writing the story in his head about the run for after?
Yeah, it's called, I think it was called something on being out there or something, and it was about how sometimes he realizes when he does a run, he's only doing it because he's already written the story about what happened in his head.
Right.
So he was like, rather than running in the moment and kind of enjoying it and then seeing what happens, he's already like written that story of like, this was brutal. I did this much, and then it was terrible. And then I got really tired, and then I thought I was going to die. And then this happened, and he's just like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" Like, right, he's almost like writing your Instagram caption before you do the run.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really guilty of taking photos on runs for Instagram to be like, I need to get some content. And my whole run doesn't center around it. And I certainly don't write my captions while I'm on the hill. But I think, you know, I do videos and put them on stories later. And it's really important to click back into that being in the moment, because the other thing is on big races, big, big races, you have to be in the moment because you haven't got that luxury of being able to think about that for that long, because you've got fucking 24, 38, 42, 72 hours to think. So you're gonna have to be able to like manage yourself, aren't you? Or else you're not gonna be able to freaking do it. Too hard.
This is true.
Quite but correspondence.
It's correspondence in a corner. It's correspondence corner.
Correspondence corner, Julius, put the correspondence corner in jingle in.
I thought your version was better.
Oh, I thought it was good too, but I'll tell you what, I feel very, very hot. Did I tell you that? I didn't feel very well.
Yeah.
Maybe the menopause is starting. How long does that last? A week or so?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe you've got a cold. Could be that, couldn't it?
What?
Yeah. Maybe you should have some paracetamol and sit down.
That's my profile.
All
I'm
right. Really
scared.
big bollocks.
I've had some brutal ibuprofens. Rach J, I'm scared of getting lost on races. How do I learn to navigate, or can I rely on a watch in races? I want to do the Grand Tour Escudero, but I'm worried about getting lost, and I'm likely not going to be able to recce. Can you hear Pickle?
Oh, is she crying?
No, she's not crying. Is he that you
What?
would say that? Is she okay? No, she's not crying. She's barking. She's on Paw Patrol.
Does she need me to come and take her?
Yeah, she does.
Mummy
She's got a new little brother.
can't look after her anymore because she's got a cold.
Yeah, she's got a new little brother called Rolo. You love him more than me. Kind of. I don't actually love him more than. Right, so Rachel J is
Yeah.
obviously quite a new runner, and she is scared of getting lost on races. How do you learn to navigate? Can I rely on my watch on races? I want to do Grand Tour Escudero, but I'm worried of getting lost. Kirsty Reid, you are good at this. You are very good at this. What would you, for a beginner runner, what would you say to Rachel if she's, or anyone that is scared of getting lost? Because actually this, especially for women, is quite a big deal when it comes to entry into trail running.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first thing would be I would download something like OS Maps app, and then just go out for a walk and just kind of work it all out and see how it all works. What's a footpath? What's a road? What's a river or whatever? You know, just orientate yourself with a map first, I guess. Just if you've never done it before, and you're used to only using like Google Maps or something, because that's what's probably ruined it for everyone. But the best piece of advice I think would be to go on a course. Like you can sign up to like a navigation course. So there's loads of them all over the country. If you look on SI Entries on the website, SI Entries is quite often navigation courses there, and somebody will take you out on the hill. And I've done several of them, and they're really, really useful. And now you'll learn like all the different map features, how to orientate yourself on a map, maybe even like well, how to use a compass, how to take a compass bearing, all those things that would just keep you safe. But then I would say generally, if you a GPS watch, if you know how to use it, and obviously no issues with battery and stuff like that, would be enough to do a race like Gran Turismo. But I would always have a map with you as a backup, because your watch can die, run out of battery, it can just freeze or whatever. I've had that on races before. So like I would do, yeah, I would like. If you could do a course, even if it's just like a day or whatever, then that'd be a really, really good investment. And just give yourself, it gives you, rather than races, I think gives you so much more confidence to go and tackle kind of more interesting runs on your own.
Our
That sort of
friends,
confidence.
Stuart Smith and Joe Faulkner at NAV 4 Adventure, so that's NAV number 4 Adventure, do really good day-long courses, and they also will do a bespoke course for you and your mates. So if you're like, I don't want to go in case there's loads of map people there. You can go on your own, or you can go with a small group of friends. And they'll take you out on the hill, and they're so fun. Those days are really good fun, and they're knowledgeable, and they are. And yeah, by the end of the day, you'll be really, really good at using a paper map. And also, they will show you how to use the symbol, because OS Maps basically map out the whole of the UK, and so the OS Maps app is really, really good. And then you've also got Harvey Maps, which is slightly different. But if you know learn how to use an OS map, IRL, like a big paper one, and on your phone, then probably you've got the backups. But it gives you so much freedom to be able to just go, like I travel a lot, so I can just get out of the car wherever I am, look at OS, be like, I'm going to go on a 6 mile run, and I can just see it on my maps and know that I'm on public rights of way, so no one's going to tell me off. And most of the time it works out fine. Some of the time not so much.
Also give
Go
a
on.
mention to Girls on Hills if you
Oh
wanted that.
yeah,
They
Girls on
do
Hills,
really good navigation days.
yeah.
So yeah, if you were able to, like they do them in the lakes and possibly even Wales, I think, but they're mostly based in Scotland, so it'd be like a good excuse for a weekend away.
Girls on Hills are amazing. They take female-only groups as well, so there's no Billy Big Bollocks nonsense. And they do really fun, like fun time weekends, don't they? Where you can go out and sleep in bothies and have a nice time and all that sort of
Yeah.
stuff. One more bit of correspondence that's weird. It's not that weird, but I think it is interesting. Pants. Do you know anything about pants?
I
What
mean,
is your choice of
I've
running
used them.
pants? What's your choice? Do you run with pants or not with pants?
I
Your
run with
pants.
pants, yeah.
What pants do you recommend? This is a Rachel Fryer question. Who's talking about pants? Can you chat more about ladies running pants? I currently run without pants. I do not understand people that run without pants. I don't understand it, and I'm wondering if it would be a good idea to start wearing some. Probably. I think you mentioned Nixie Body being good. They are good. They're Nixie Body of the Period Pants Company. And have a look at those. Mainly, I worry I would spend halfway run always pulling pants out of my bum, like I do every day. Buy the right size pants, Rachel. Would you advise a thong? No. Or do you just need to get really good quality pants that are plenty big enough for your bum? If in doubt, size up. I think pants could be pretty visible through some of my current leggings. It's not a fucking fashion show. So leggings and short choice might need a rethink in the future. Honestly, I don't give a shit if my pants, you can see my pants through my leggings. I've got a pair of underwear pants that I've had for about 7 years that I've still got and I love. And they wrote Bad Boy Running in white lettering on the back of the pants. And sometimes you can see that lettering through the, if my tights get really wet or my shorts get really wet. Don't care. I don't give a shit. I've zero fucks
Okay, well,
available.
you didn't send the question in. Rachel
No.
did.
No.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's something that would stop you running or whatever, then I guess it is an issue, isn't it? But it's kind of a life question, really, isn't it? Rather than a running question, I think. Should I wear pants? What kind of pants should I wear?
What pants do you wear?
Well, I don't even know what the brand, like I just buy pants that are reasonably comfortable and for running, and then I'll just buy like five of them. I don't know what the brand is, but they're just like normal pants. But I have tried underwear pants. They go up my bum. So I don't, yeah, sorry, that, but it's all horses for courses, isn't it? I've been sent like various brands and stuff when I used to do magazine stuff, but never really found any. So like, I don't know, my friends. Yeah, I think just finding like a decent, well-fitting brand that, and then just buy a load of them if they're
Yeah,
on it.
I like the Nixie body ones because they've got a seam in the bum crack. They've sewn a seam into it, which seems like it would
Yeah, that's.
seems seems like it would cause a hungry bum situation. But actually it
Yeah.
doesn't. It stops it. Because when I first got them, the ones I wear, Rachel, are the Sporty Susies. They've got ridiculous names for them, but they are the Sporty Susies. First off, they're scalloped, so you can't see them. So I wear them under my really tight leggings at the running show because can't see them. That's the only time I really care is when I'm working, if people are looking at my pants. But so you can't see them, and they've got the seam, and they're really comfortable, and obviously they're leak proof. So like for me, I don't have periods anymore, but they not because of Reds because of contraception. Just thought I'd say that. But. The wee leakage, you know, when you're dripping dry and stuff like that, the sweat, they're brilliant for working that way, and it just makes everything a lot more comfortable. So I'm Nixie Body through and through. Might ask Nixie Body if they want to give us a discount, actually. I'll do that later. But runderwear are also really good. I've got two pairs of runderwear pants. I absolutely love them. I think they're amazing. They're really good wicking pants. So, but I will never run without pants. I just can't imagine doing that. No.
Yeah. Well, there's two good recommendations, Em. But I'm sure
And
people have got their own.
Percy's got secret plans that she won't tell us about because she
I don't.
doesn't want us to have them.
I don't. I
But
just.
is it
It's
because
just
they're Anne
not.
Summers? Are they Anne Summers
Can
thongs?
you imagine running? No.
You're
No,
lucky
they're just.
swimming. Can you imagine swimming in Anne Summers underwear? Like
Oh
wild
dear.
swimming or something.
Yeah, on
That's
Instagram or
for a
something.
different podcast.
Yeah, no, I just don't have any running specific brands. They're just like life pants.
You do have some socks that you really like, though.
Oh yeah, I've got some socks that I love after a lifetime of trial and error. They're Tico. They're like recycled socks, and they're the most comfortable ones I've found, and it's what I wore for Tour de Giro, and I didn't get any blisters.
Well, I love that. And didn't you just find those socks? Didn't they accidentally end up in your washing basket or something?
I think you're fishing for a compliment here, aren't you?
No, I'm not, because they're not mine. I don't know where they've come from.
So Ali did some washing for me ages ago, and there was like a pair of socks in it. I thought, well, these aren't my socks, but they do look like good socks, so I'll just keep them. And they were the socks, and I thought these are brilliant socks. Found out what they were, went online, and yeah, I just bought like four pairs for Tour de Gym.
When was that? Was that when we went to Wales?
We went to
The
Wales,
Airbnb?
yeah.
They're not my socks.
Well, I don't know, but I don't care. They've
God.
solved a lifelong sock problem
They
for
must
me.
have been in the washing machine. This is like a Destiny thing. They should make a fucking film out of
Yeah,
this.
you could do like a whole episode on socks and pants
Yeah, we
because
could.
people are
And
really
bras.
militant. Like in gingies, no, just
No.
no for me.
No.
But everyone swears by
Damien
them.
wears in gingies socially. Like all the time, like he wears them just as social socks, you know, like normal socks. And I'm like, no, they're just weird and they don't work. I'm a innovate sock person, 100%.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got some Innovate ones I like, but they keep changing their
Are
socks,
the ones
so.
that you like, what are they called?
Oh, I don't know.
Tippity toes. Are they toe socks or just normal socks?
What, my Tico ones?
Your Tico, yeah, they're just
Yeah,
normal
they're normal
socks,
socks.
toes.
I wouldn't touch a toe sock.
Me neither. I wouldn't touch a toe sock.
No, I've tried them, but I don't like them.
Julius, our editor, he loves a toe sock and he won't have anything else. He gets quite militant about the whole situation. Whereas I'm like, no, mate, we're not doing a whole episode on pants, socks, and bras because I would die of boredom.
Yeah.
What's your next? Can I ask what your next race is now? Now it's 4 weeks after.
I'm doing Tour de Helvellyn.
Why are you?
In yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
But yeah, that's all I've got in the diary. Yeah, I might make some plans, start making some plans for next year.
Okay, okay. I'd love to do Tour de Helvellyn, but I'm doing that bloody Winter Downs race, and I don't think Holly would be that thrilled, and I wouldn't actually physically be able to do it. Okay, have a nice time. I'll speak to you in a month. I love you. Thanks for your wisdom as always, and speak to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bailey and Harding Ultrasound System. We love you, listeners, and we love your feedback. So if you've got a little bit of time to rate and review us where you get your pods, that would be amazing. If you could share us with your fellow runners, running clubs, anybody you think might be interested, that would be great too. And if you've got any correspondence, please do send it to us at the usual places. You can email us, ultrasoundsystempod@gmail.com. You can drop us a DM on Instagram. We love DMs and voice notes. It's ultrasoundsystempod. Or you can send a carrier pigeon or letter to P.O. Box. We don't have a P.O. Box, but remember when P.O. Boxes were a thing. We love you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.